Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks so much for tuning in to our middle show of the work week. We affectionately call it Hump Show because once we're over this hump, it's downhill toward the weekend. Although coming up this weekend, it's time to do my taxes. I'm actually really proud of myself. I have designated a weekend in March as opposed to waiting until the weekend of my birthday or the weekend after when I attempt to do my taxes, facing a deadline of, say, 24 hours or so before the IRS has decided that they will knock on my door. And so this time I'm going to file my taxes in March and be very proud. So weekends are weekends, but some weekends have more time staring at the computer screen than others. Either way, it's about getting over this hump, and the NFL New Year is making it a whole lot more interesting. So it's New Year's Eve for those of you who are massive NFL fans and are caught up in the latest tampering. It's legal, you know, such a dumb phrase. Make it something else that's not by definition illegal. But the big news, Le'Veon Bell will sign a $52.5 million deal with the Jets for the next 4 years. $35 million of that is guaranteed. So nowhere near the money that the Steelers originally offered him before they couldn't agree to terms and he eschewed the franchise tag for a second season. Do you know, even after sitting out 2018, he still has more touches than any other back in the NFL over the last 5 years? So I told you, 2013 through 2017, he averaged 128.9 yards per game. So that's between passing or between receiving and running. He was a difference maker. Is he still going to do the same when he returns after a year away? That's a major question. But Le'Veon Bell, the news that broke midnight New York time, so midnight Eastern time, 9 o'clock Pacific time roughly. And just before that, Odell Beckham Jr., blockbuster trade to the Cleveland Browns at 26 years old. He is worth, in the eyes of the Browns, a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and starting safety Jabril Peppers. So this is right on the heels, not even a year after he signs, and we mean inked on the dotted line, a deal that made him the highest-paid wide receiver in NFL history. It was up to $98.5 million for 5 years. Of course, not all of that guaranteed, but still, the kind of contract that he wanted before he ever wrapped up his rookie deal. The Giants decided enough was enough. I think the same thing with the Steelers and Antonio Brown. Enough was enough. And they were okay to let him go. We'll try to give you some more of the details. How did it turn out to be the Cleveland Browns? We've got a lot of different reports coming from the NFL Network and CBS Sports HQ, and also some reaction from inside the Browns organization. But these are the two big stories, not the only stories. Dee Ford, who was applied the franchise tag in Kansas City to give the Chiefs time to find a trade partner for him, he is headed to the San Francisco 49ers. It's crazy that the last thing we'll remember about Dee Ford's tenure in KC is the AFC Championship game. They said I was offsides. Was I? Oh, yes. And negated a Tom Brady interception that might have changed the entire scope of the Super Bowl, though we'll never know now. And so
they said I was lined up offsides. Was I?
I'm not laughing at you, Dee Ford. I'm laughing near you. I hope that he probably can't laugh about it yet. Honestly, if I was Dee, I wouldn't be able to laugh about it yet either. In fact, it might be 15 years before I could even crack a smile about that particular championship game or that game in general. So we do have a lot of other moves. I like the Latavius Murray to New Orleans, but I'm not really sure. Now, He's a little younger than Mark Ingram, so that's part of the deal. But 4 years, $14.4 million. So they're still paying a primo price for Alvin Kamara's, I don't want to call him backup, but the number two guy behind Alvin Kamara. The Packers make a couple of big moves on defense. We had, I think just in general, a nice smattering of moves. A lot of players kind of crisscrossing the country. And I definitely was thinking about the Buffalo Bills and what they did to replace the guy they didn't get. I mean, it sounds funny, right? But Antonio Brown would have cast a large shadow. Instead, they have former Cardinals and Ravens receiver John Brown and then Cole Beasley. And I've seen some of you Dallas Cowboys fans posting on our Facebook page about losing Cole Beasley. So you got plenty of options, places to weigh in, lots of gifts. I'm having a hard time keeping up with what you're throwing at me on our social media pages. So here's the deal. Facebook, there's three or four different places where you can weigh in. You also have the latest edition of Pre-Law with Chris and Dave, who are just, they're just flat out lying to you. So you might want to ignore them. And then also we've got the spot where you can weigh in with your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And then you can find us on Twitter as well, After Hours CBS. So lots of ways that you can share your hot takes. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Jason LaCanfora takes us back to the NFL Combine for the roots of this Odell Beckham Jr. trade.
I heard very strong at the Combine that the Giants were doing more than just sitting back and waiting to see if anybody called on Odell Beckham. That when you called, they were actively engaged. They were telling teams, hey, it's going to be a high price, but there is a trade to be made, and call us back. We have more to talk about. And at that time, it was the Raiders, the 49ers, and the Browns who had made the most sort of rumblings, most inquiries. And the Raiders obviously ended up going down a different path with Antonio Brown, giving up a whole lot less in the process. The 49ers have been in there. Kyle Shanahan, their head coach, I'm told, was a strong proponent of making a trade of this magnitude. Ultimately, though, it's John Dorsey and the Browns who get it done. They had one glaring need, really, on offense, an outside receiver.
So it's Oakland, it's San Francisco, it's Cleveland who were making their best pitches to the New York Giants to get Odell Beckham Jr. And it turns out to be Cleveland who offers the best package. When we spoke to Daryl Ryder last hour, he thought that this was a pretty inexpensive price tag for OBJ. I'd like your reaction to that as well. A first-round pick, a third-round pick, and a starting safety. Compare that to what the Raiders gave up for Antonio Brown, a third- and fifth-round pick. Picks. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You know what I couldn't help but think about? Eli Manning's reaction. And I tweeted this earlier, and I'm dead serious. You know, sometimes I fool around. Maybe I troll you on social media. But I'm serious about this. If I was offered exclusive access to Eli's conversations with Peyton and Archie, maybe even Cooper too, after he found out about the Odell Beckham Jr. trade, I would give up a week's pay to know about the truth in those conversations. Is he upset? I mean, there's probably part of him that wonders, who the heck am I going to throw to this year if he's even the starting quarterback? He is now, but we don't know what the Giants are going to do with the draft. So is he upset that OBJ is gone? Or is he relieved? Because that guy was a pain in his backside. Let's be honest, extremely talented. But Eli Manning very often was the target of OBJ's ire. Does he wonder if maybe the last year of his career, now who knows how much longer he plays, but he's got 1 year left on his Giants deal. Does he wonder if his team is going to go 0-16 in his final year in the NFL? Seriously, I'd give up a week's pay. I mean, it's not very much, but I'd give up a week's pay to know exactly what Eli said to Peyton and to his dad, Archie, once he found out about this deal. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And don't forget to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Oh my gosh. Wait, can I just tell you? I just cheated. I wasn't looking at the questions for Ask Amy, Chris. I swear I wasn't. But I have the Facebook page open because I was expecting reaction to the football. Can I just tell you what question popped up on our Facebook page? Can I just read it to you? Okay. You would never ask this as part of Ask Amy Anything. So I'm just going to throw it out there to tell you, the nation of sports fans, some of the unique questions that we get. Steve wants to know on Facebook, and then I will be deleting this question. Do you think in, say, 10 years, you'll regret going after a career instead of marrying and having a family? You know what kind of question a man in this business never gets asked? That one. But thank you, Steve, for your concern. All right, let's talk to Thomas, who's in Sacramento. Thomas, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, so I've got a question for you. So I'm a big, big Browns fan. Honestly, I might be the only one west of the Mississippi River, but I'm just playing with you. That's pork talk. So who do you think, egos aside, does the better numbers for their team this year progressively? Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., or Le'Veon Bell?
I mean, you're asking me to guess. You're asking me to guess.
Not numbers yet.
Yeah, no, I have no idea. I think that
in your opinion.
Yeah, but it's not an opinion; it's a guess. I mean, you're asking me to predict who does better, and I have no idea. It depends on, let's just say, for the sake of argument, both those quarterbacks stay healthy. But what if one of them gets hurt? Then you're talking about all bets are off. So these are obviously guesses. But I think in the case of Antonio Brown and Oakland, maybe because I don't want to say he's the only target. But in Cleveland, there are other offensive weapons that you would expect to have the ball. Okay, so okay. Odell,
so
to be sure.
Hold on.
Odell, to be sure. Jarvis Landry, his buddy from LSU. But think about the number of times that Nick Chubb needs to touch the ball. What about when Kareem Hunt comes back? How do they divvy up the ball? Maybe Antonio Callaway. What about David Njoku? I mean, you're talking about a lot of weapons. So just doing the simple math, that means that you are unlikely to throw the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. as much as, say, maybe a Derek Carr is delivering to Antonio Brown. But that's all things being equal.
Yeah, so that's almost like saying Derek Carr is, you know, similar to Ben Roethlisberger, which I think is a joke.
No, that's not what I said. I said he's a primary option, and there aren't as many options in Oakland as there are in Cleveland.
All right. Yeah, good night, Amy.
Okay, thanks, Thomas. I'm not exactly sure how he got Derek Carr is like Ben Roethlisberger. All right, so lots of your tweets, A-Law Radio. Rhonda, who is a longtime listener to the show, and I just know her because she is so all in for Cleveland and Cleveland sports, and I always appreciate, she's very positive. She says, I'm super pumped about the Browns. John Dorsey is out here making things happen. This is exciting news for Cleveland. The dog pound will be rocking this year. Timothy says, I'm not worried about OBJ. He wants to win now. So do the Browns. The Giants don't. They are eyes on the future. So both teams win. Steve says, it is heaven in Cleveland. OBJ and Landry open up more opportunities for Antonio Callaway, who can catch the deep ball, and Njoku at tight end. Chubb and Hunt and Duke at the backs. Baker has the keys to the caddy. Meaning the Cadillac. But that's kind of my point, is I'm not saying Odell Beckham Jr. can't change an offense and can't stretch a field and can't cause fits for the defense. But the idea that he's the only target there or the only person who's going to handle the ball, well, that's not the case unless there are a rash of injuries. So that's why I say Antonio Brown may have better numbers, only because there are fewer weapons, at least right now, in Oakland than there are in Cleveland. I mean, that's kind of the idea. You stack your offense so that you can keep a defense off balance. But it also means these guys have to share the ball. Think about the Golden State Warriors as an example. Now, I know Cleveland hasn't won three titles in 4 years. Although, according to Browns fans, that is about to happen. But the Warriors have to share the basketball. They have five All-Stars on their court in the starting lineup. And you know who's lost a lot of shots at times? Klay Thompson, one of the best shooters in the NBA. You know who doesn't get a lot of shots? Not that it's necessarily a bad thing, but Draymond Green. He doesn't touch the ball as much in order to take shots. So when you've got more guys that can make stuff happen, then you obviously don't have as many touches per guy unless some of those get completely ignored, which is not going to happen. The whole idea is to completely keep the defense guessing.
I'm more like the director at the YMCA than I am a coach.
855-212-4227. You can also find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Fun to see some of the NFL reaction, and producer Chris is retweeting some of that from our show account, our Facebook page too. Please send more of your really creative questions for Ask AB Anything. Thanks for tuning into our Hump Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And a deep handoff to the left. Le'Veon turns the corner. He's at the five. He's to the pylon and skips into the end zone for the Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown. Le'Veon Bell just turned the corner. There was great blocking on the flank, and he skipped inside the pylon.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Le'Veon Bell, now a member of Gang Green, the late breaking news just about 3 hours ago. And we're not even to the official start of NFL free agency yet. Hashtag time to tamper. We're actually just over 12 hours from the start of the new year. So happy new year to you. Kind of some fireworks on New Year's Eve getting us all jazzed up. And what do I tell you every time? All the freaking good stuff in sports happens at night. Prime time, baby. Prime time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you did not see the Twitter exchange that Cole Beasley had with a fan, wait until I read it to you. We're dying in here. Hysterical reaction to a fan who called Beasley's move to the Bills a big mistake. So I'll get to that coming up. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So there's no more Bell with the Steelers. Bill Hillgrove is their play-by-play voice on the Steelers radio network. No Antonio Brown either. Steelers fans, you knew this was coming, but now that it's official, how are you feeling? Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to get right back to your calls here momentarily. Le'Veon Bell left $14.5 million on the table with the Steelers last year, but he believed in the end, despite telling his teammates, almost halfway through the year, that he was ready to get back to work, couldn't wait to help them win. Now, remember, halfway through the season, the Steelers were on top of the AFC North. Then they hit that terrible skid against the teams in the AFC West, lost 3 of 4, and just down the tubes they went. I mean, they literally fell off the face of a cliff. And, of course, it was the Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson who were waiting. And so Steelers fans knew this was coming, but it's going to look a whole lot different on the offensive side of the ball. There is Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner, Jalen Samuels. They are not devoid of talent, and they've done a really good job finding wide receiver talent in the draft. So we'll see what they do to replace those two guys even more than they already have. So that there's two sides to every story, right? You have the story of Bell and Brown departing for what they believe are greener, pastures, and especially in the case of Bell. But you also have the team that's left behind. And what I said to you last night about the Steelers feeling a mixture of disappointment and relief, or I guess it was going back to Sunday night show, disappointment and relief mixed together. Sure, you wish it could have worked out. You hate how it ended. But the fact that it was an albatross around your neck, there's relief that you're finally done with the drama. What about with the Giants? I can imagine there is a mixture in the locker room as well. Now, certainly Dave Gettleman did it at a 180. Not that long ago, he was saying, now certainly he was trying to throw people off the scent. Okay, we know now Gettleman was trying to keep his cards as close to the vest as possible. But he said, we didn't sign him to that big contract to trade him. And you know what? There's truth in that. They didn't actually sign him to that big contract to trade him. That was supposed to be the deal that kept Odell Beckham Jr. with the New York Giants for life. Build on that contract, get another one. That was the one that signified they were committed to him. Now, I wouldn't say he sabotaged his way out of New York to the level that Antonio Brown did, but I also know that his actions and his words both contributed to him now being a Cleveland Brown. So maybe he's thrilled about it. Maybe he's not. Certainly there was some reaction coming out of the Giants locker room that was negative. I saw one player talk about how there's no loyalty at all. But I don't have an issue with a franchise not being loyal to a guy who throws them under the bus publicly, including his own quarterback. He was clearly unsatisfied, discontented. He was irritated all the time. When was the last time Odell Beckham Jr. was happy? Doesn't seem like the new contract made him as happy as he thought it would. So there's always the team that makes the trade and the team that gets left behind. And I'm interested in your reaction from both. 855-212-4227. Okay, here's the Cole Beasley tweets. It's a fan named John, and I'm looking at him now. He's only got 116 followers, and I'm not saying that to make fun, only that he's not a public figure. So he's a fan. He's got a picture of himself in what appears to be a uniform of some, jersey of some sort. So Cole Beasley puts this tweet out. I'll always love Cowboy Nation, and I appreciate the time we've had together. Thanks to the Jones family for giving me a shot. Excited for this new journey. Can't wait to get started in Buffalo. Let's go. Hashtag Bills Mafia. And this fan, John, quotes the Beasley tweet with this reaction. Big mistake. Bills can't, won't win. Cole replies to him, and I quote, was at the Cowboys for 7 years. We didn't win either. I'll be all right. Come on. That is awesome. I'm going to follow Cole Beasley just for that. Of course he wants to win, but I love his perspective. It's not the freaking end of the world. They're still paying me, in case you hadn't noticed. They gave him a 4-year deal. And sometimes, like the rest of us in corporate America, we want something new. We want a new job. We want a new challenge. We want a new geography. We want a new geographical location. It's okay to change jobs. But in sports, only in sports, do fans feel like they have the right to criticize everyone's job choice. Cole Beasley was at the Cowboys for 7 years. We didn't win either. I'll be all right. Oh my gosh, that's so good. Maybe I'm the only one who finds that funny, but it did get liked 16,000 times and retweeted nearly 5,100 times. Kawhi likes it. We're in the gold. We're in the, I don't even know what that means. It's Hump Show. You just got to cut me some slack. There's a lot going on. Weird. I don't know. I don't even know what I was going to say. Hey, Jets fans. That means you, Chris. I was in Dallas for 7 years. We didn't win there either. Chris, what's your reaction?
Oh, I mean, you gotta love it. Character issues aside, I think in the same thing I said about the Antonio Brown trade when that went down, I think Le'Veon Bell is going to be on his best behavior. He's going to want to come and improve. He's still a number one option for the team. I think he's going to have a fantastic year. Got to give Sam the weapons he needs.
Sam.
We're on a first name. We're clearly on a first
name. Just for the rest of the NFL fans out there who don't know, Sam Darnold is Sam.
Samuel Darnold. We'll call him dearly. No, I love the trade. I think they got to add a couple more pieces on offense, get another receiver or two, get another offensive lineman, and we are cooking for the first time since probably 2010.
Me and Sam, we are cooking. Do you smell what me and Sam are cooking? So, Dave, are you a Giants fan or a Jets fan? Okay, so you're a Jets fan as well. Sometimes I have to stop and think, are you both Jets fans? Because one of you is are you both Yankees fans too? Oh, gross. Thank God there's a double pane glass between us. Okay, so what's your reaction?
Love it. Absolutely love it. Originally, I thought it was going to cost them a lot more money So the fact that when I heard the details of the contract, I'm fine that it has incentives. I think it's great. I think it's a no-brainer. They have the money to spend anyway. As he said, get Sam Darnold some weapons. It's all about, you know, moving in the right direction with Darnold, that he needs to progress. He needs to get better. And
notice
having
that he calls him Darnold, not Sam.
Just having that, he's a hybrid, you know, he is a running back, but he can also catch plenty of balls out of the backfield, so I think it's a great weapon for him to have.
No worries about the fact that he sat out all, what if he's fat?
He's fresh.
Let's just
be
honest.
He's got fresh legs, that's
all
that matters.
But what if he's fat?
Well, then,
I mean, it's hard to stay in NFL shape. I'm being honest. Like,
it's a definite possibility. We haven't seen him. There's no videos of him working out, I guess. But I'm sure he's in good shape. And I think he'll just have fresh legs. That's all it really means to me.
Okay. Well, if he's overweight, those fresh legs are going to be necessary. No, I mean, that. I'm just saying, it's a legitimate concern. When a pro athlete stops working out or isn't in the constant rigors of practice and working out, some of them lose a ton of weight. Some of them do the opposite and put on a ton of weight. So there's always that possibility. I'm confident that the Jets would have done their due diligence, though, right? They wouldn't sign him sight unseen,
yeah,
correct?
I wouldn't think so. And it's like C.J. Anderson. He showed back up on the Rams. And he looked like he ate his former self. And he still did the, you know, a pretty good job out there. He was pretty productive on the field.
That's a Super Bowl champ you're talking about right there.
Almost.
Wait, look what happens when somebody
was.
Brings another CJ
Anderson was a Super Bowl champion with the Broncos.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hashtag Super Bowl 50. I love this. Thank you, guys. I love this couple of tweets from Pete. We have a 5-week-old daughter. My wife's ecstatic and enjoying her beauty sleep because of the OBJ to the Browns trade. I'm so excited that I'm here listening and doing baby duties. First time listener, I love your show. And then he follows it up with this. I love this. Realistic chance of Baker Mayfield being both the regular season MVP and Super Bowl MVP next season. He's looking for odds, I guess. Something tells me you can get those odds in Vegas if you really want them. All right, we're going to get back to your calls. Pete, congratulations on your 5-week-old baby. I feel like daughter's the way to go. That's awesome. Girls rock. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I suggest that you check out Cole Beasley's Twitter, though, really, if you need a laugh. Also on our Facebook page, an hour from now, you've got Ask Amy Anything, so time to get your questions in. We're rolling through our hump show. Coming up next, we'll take your calls. And then also, Utah Jazz take a bold step. I like it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The NBA fined Russell Westbrook $25,000 for his comments toward a Utah Jazz fan on Monday night, in which he threatened, as you can hear there on the video, he threatened to F him up. He and his wife actually turned out to be the girlfriend of a Jazz fan named Shane Kiesel, who was sitting 3 rows off the corner where Westbrook was standing when he was at the end of the Thunder bench. Not the first time he's had issues with the Jazz, but this time Utah steps in and decides they're going to take action. And I think this is smart because in the wake of Russell Westbrook telling his version of the story, which was certainly different than the fans' version of the story, you had multiple NBA players, both from the Thunder, from the Jazz, as well as LeBron James. We'll let you hear from him in a second. They're all standing up and saying this type of behavior is unacceptable. And what this fan said, which according to Westbrook was get on your knees like you used to, crossed a line. And so you have the outrage from the NBA community. It's smart for the Jazz to react. And they did just that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, Kiesel, the fan, was one of a group of fans who received warning cards for violating the NBA's code of conduct. But that's not where the Jazz ended their investigation. In fact, they went ahead and they interviewed, I told you they were going to do this, interviewed other fans who could provide eyewitness accounts. I also told you those fans would be more than happy to tattle on this guy if he was being obnoxious. Because number one, that type of a comment, if that's what he said, we knew that that would make other people, just normal, regular human beings trying to enjoy an NBA game, it would make them uncomfortable and they would find it offensive. But we also knew that members of the Thunder bench were backing Westbrook too. So Utah Jazz did their due diligence. They interviewed eyewitnesses. They looked at video. They looked at social media, both from this particular fan as well as from others who were in the area. And they decided to permanently ban Shane Kiesel for life. So after this exchange with Russell Westbrook, he's been banned from the arena. And the Jazz said in a statement, there is no place in our game for personal attacks or disrespect. Again, the NBA fined Westbrook $25,000 because he directed profanity and threatening language to a fan. But obviously, the fan got what he deserved. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. For CBS, it's brought to you toll-free by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Before I get to your calls, you want to weigh in on the Odell Beckham Jr. trade to Cleveland. Lots of comments on Facebook and Twitter as well, so I'm going to get to those. But I thought that LeBron James made some very thoughtful comments, thought-provoking comments as well, in the wake of the Russell Westbrook incident.
As bad as social media is, the good thing about social media came out when they went through everything that he's said about Russ, said about other people in his little timeline. You know, obviously, Russ is a very passionate guy, but Russ is married with three kids, a set of twins, and no matter if you like him or love him or the way he played the game, this guy's one of the most loyal people that I know, one of the most down-to-earth guys that I know, and that guy just took it too far on the other end. There could have been some words. Russ could have said a little bit differently. But at the end of the day, he was in the right. That guy's in the wrong. Stand up and salute. I salute the Utah Jazz and with their organization on doing what they did. And we move forward. But, you know, fans, I understand that, you know, they pay their hard-earned money to watch our beautiful game and watch our beautiful players. And I respect that. But there's a fine line when you go to the disrespectful side on talking about, or am I cheering my teammates on? Am I heckling the opposing guy? Or am I crossing the line? And there's a fine line where you, well, it's not a fine line. It's, that line is very bold, and everyone knows when you're crossing the line.
So LeBron James, following the Lakers game on Tuesday night, not only supporting Russ, but also answering the question that we posed on last night's show. What is that line? Where is it? And I appreciate that so many of you provided your thoughtful responses. Many of you who buy tickets to go to arenas and stadiums, and it's your hard-earned money, and you feel like you have some rights, but very many of you, I would say the majority of you, actually realize that, as LeBron says, there's a bold line there, and you know when you've crossed it, when it becomes personal, when the attacks become personal, that's when it doesn't have a place in the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go to our phones here, 855-212-4227. Randy is in San Diego. Welcome, Randy.
Hi, Amy. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
I just want to make comments on the Odell Beckham trade to Cleveland. First of all, I've got to thank Mr. Dorsey. I'm a Charger fan, but I appreciate good ball getting ready to be played if these stars do what they do in the NFL. And I was kind of wondering about the comment you made about what Eli's dad was thinking. Giants have two number ones this year.
Yep.
They might be getting ready to bring somebody in like a Haskins or whoever they think would fit their team.
Right.
And have Eli groom them. And my comment was, what do you think about that? Or what do you think they're going with that, trading Eli to, Odell to Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea is that they're starting a rebuild here. Now, it's difficult to do when you have a 38-year-old quarterback. However, they passed on getting one of those five first-round quarterbacks in last year's draft. Sam Darnold was there for the taking. I mean, they had an opportunity to get a quarterback, and we now know all five who were taken in the first round started games last year. So I don't know that they can even think about passing on drafting a quarterback this year, if for no other reason than Manning is 38. And so to have the sixth pick, as well as now the number 17 pick in this trade with the Browns, I still think they might need to move up if they want to grab Haskins. It sounds like Kyler Murray is going to go overall number one to the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll wait to see if there's jostling there. But the good news is that the teams in front of them don't necessarily need quarterbacks. So they certainly don't have to jump up to number one if the Cardinals would take Kyler Murray. The Niners have Jimmy Garoppolo. The Jets already have Sam Darnold. The Raiders are an interesting case study there. They do have Derek Carr, but what's to stop them from potentially getting another QB, maybe a younger QB to learn under Carr? That one I'd be wary of. And then the Buccaneers, who just hired Bruce Arians. They're committed to Jameis Winston. The franchise said they're committed to Jameis Winston, and that would then lead us to number six and the New York Giants. So I don't know. I'm not sure if I'd get nervous and I'd move up to number four, maybe try to make a swap with the Raiders. But I think they're still in good shape to get Haskins even if they make just a slight move. Thanks so much for your phone call, Randy in San Diego. Let's talk to William, who's in Virginia. William, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to weigh in on the Odell Beckham trade also, but first and foremost, as a Cowboys fan, I just wanted to say the tweet by Cole Beasley, I mean, the Cowboys obviously haven't won a Super Bowl, but they did win some big games. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know exactly what Beasley's talking about. He didn't win in Dallas. But
I mean, I think he was being tongue-in-cheek, responding to an idiot fan. That's what he was doing. But it's still funny. I mean, it's still funny.
Cowboys fan, I just felt like I had to comment on that. But anyways, as far as the Odell Beckham Jr. trade, I mean, obviously I think as a Cowboys fan, I'm glad that we don't have to deal with them anymore. But I think this is going to be one of those rare cases where this trade benefits both teams. You know, usually when you have a trade, you know, one team is a loser and one team obviously wins. But, I mean, just, you know, the Giants get Jabril Peppers, who obviously the Browns drafted in the first round a year or two ago, plus they get an actual first-round draft pick. And the Browns' offense, you know, with Baker Mayfield and OBJ still being a young receiver, I think could be a good combination for years to come for Cleveland.
Sure, it could, as long as he stays happy, right, and he stays there. But you're right, he's only 26 years old, so he's theoretically in the prime of his career if he can stay healthy.
And I mean, to your point, like you said a little while ago, I mean, he has, you know, former coaches and former LSU players there to keep him happy and keep his ego a little bit in check. So, and honestly, I mean, you know, with all due respect to Hugh Jackson, you know, I know he's supposed to be some type of quarterback guru or whatever, but excuse me.
About 20 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we're fine.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think Cleveland is out, obviously they're moving in the right direction, and I mean, I'm one of those players, NFL fans that kind of always rooted for the Browns as the underdog. I mean, it just seems like they've been snake bitten for years, so I'm glad to see them finally moving in the right direction.
Agreed. I think it would be a story like the Chicago Cubs in Major League Baseball, who hadn't won in over 100 years. This is a story that NFL fans can get behind. William, thank you so much for your call from Virginia. Great to talk to you. It's always nice when you tell a listener that he's got about 20 seconds and he sticks to that. Awesome. All right, we're halfway through dead center of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.